news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Bring them home, bring them home, bring them home.
The last U.S. troops have left Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan. That is what CNN is reporting as of Friday morning. The U.S. military handed the base to Afghanistan after nearly 20 years. President Biden said in April that U.S. forces would be out of Afghanistan by September 11th. But the handover of Bagram Air Force Base to the Afghan National Security and Defense Force is the latest sign that the pullout will essentially be complete closer to the 4th of July. Most of the 7,000 allied NATO troops have already quietly left the country, according to the Associated Press, citing announcements from several European countries. The handover came as peace talks stall and the Taliban reportedly seized territory in a military offensive. The House voted this week to create a select committee to investigate the deadly January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. But Republicans have made it pretty clear that they're not all that interested. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy even threatened to strip party members of their committee assignments if they accepted an offer from Nancy Pelosi to serve. Well, Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney did just that. Cheney was previously removed from Republican House leadership after criticizing the former guy's false election claims. Others named by Pelosi to the committee are the two former lead impeachment managers, Adam Schiff and Jamie Raskin. Congressman Benny Thompson, who chairs the Homeland Security Committee, will head this select committee. Moving on to COVID. More local officials in the U.S. are sounding the alarm over another possible wave, just as people are setting off for the 4th of July holiday. Arkansas is seeing a surge, and the governor, Asa Hutchinson, says that more than 90% of all active virus cases are among people who have not been vaccinated. To combat the spread of the Delta variant, the Biden administration is planning to deploy response teams across the country to areas with high infection rates. As for the vaccines, Johnson & Johnson now joins Moderna and Pfizer, saying it provides adequate protection against the Delta variant. Well, the Supreme Court wrapped up its term on Thursday, handing down its final two opinions from this session, and they were not good ones. In Brnovich versus the DNC, the court ruled that two provisions of an Arizona voting law that restricts how ballots can be cast do not violate the Voting Rights Act that bars regulations that result in racial discrimination. This basically guts what's left of the Voting Rights Act. It also means that the restrictive voting laws that Republican-led states are implementing this year are more likely to withstand legal challenges, making it more imperative that Congress act and do something about it. The second opinion, and the final one for the year, was a case brought by Americans for Prosperity. And the justices, in another 6-3 decision along ideological lines, threw out the donor disclosure law in California that aimed to make donations to charities accountable to ethics investigators, especially those dark money donations to 501c4 groups. These decisions also raise questions about the legacy of the court's 6-3 conservative majority. Now, this term is over, and attention is turning to Justice Stephen Breyer, the court's most senior liberal, so-called liberal, who's facing intense calls to retire so that Joe Biden can nominate his replacement. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office on Thursday charged the Trump Organization and its longtime chief financial officer, Alan Weisselberg, with tax crimes, this following a 3-year investigation. The former president's real estate company is accused of operating a 15-year scheme to compensate executives off the books in order to help them dodge taxes. Weisselberg, who pleaded guilty, is accused of failing to pay taxes on $1.7 million in perks, such as apartments and cars, that he should have reported as income. So rescue efforts at the site of the condo that collapsed in Surfside, Florida, could face more challenges soon because there's a hurricane headed this way. Elsa was upgraded Friday morning to a Category 1 hurricane, and it's approaching the state. Work had to be halted for much of Thursday as engineers assessed the part of the structure still standing. Meanwhile, ominous details from the years leading up to the collapse are coming to light. Last October, construction workers were brought into the building to assess and repair worsening concrete damage. But according to documents obtained by USA Today, they discovered that the concrete deterioration had gotten so bad that workers could not carry out repairs out of fear they would destabilize more areas of the complex. A summary of the work carried out on October 13th reportedly said restoration and repair work, quote, could not be performed because it could affect the stability of the remaining adjacent concrete constructions. Wow. Attorney General Merrick Garland on Thursday ordered a moratorium on federal executions and a Justice Department review of the death penalty. Former administration's Justice Department to bring back federal execution by lethal injection in 2019. The federal government then carried out 13 executions between July 2020 and January 2021. During his confirmation hearing, Garland said that exonerations of people wrongly convicted have given him pause. He also noted that President Biden is strongly opposed to capital punishment. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. Please click on that donate button.